Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome back. The Bill Michaels Show rolls on. Bill out for today. Kevin Holden, CBS 58 in Milwaukee. Stepping in, just a little fill-in action. He'll be back tomorrow, and Bill will get you ready for Packers at Washington on Sunday, but getting you ready for that same matchup right now. The Green and Gold Analyst. Yes, folks, I've been licking my chops about this. Been waiting for it all day. It's time to talk to Paul Imig.
Need the latest news and analysis on your Green and Gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and Gold Analyst Paul Imig is brought to you by the Wisconsin Brewers Guild Pints for Prostates. Want a chance to meet Green Bay legend John Kuhn and support prostate cancer research? Just download the Wisconsin Tap Chaser app for details.
And joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline, we have called Paul. Paul Imig. What's going on, dude?
Kevin, I have binge-watched an entire new show since you and I spoke last 5 days ago. How do you think of that?
What? Are you on an entire show?
I mean, it was only 8 episodes of a season, but still, I mean, it's an accomplishment, right?
You have literally watched more in that little window right there than television than I've seen in probably months.
I'm telling you, man, one day you're going to come around to the idea that we're in the golden age of TV, Kevin.
Got to soak it up. Got to take advantage.
Right.
All right, Paul Imig. We got to talk a little Green Bay Packers here. Green and Gold Analyst Paul Imig is going to clue us in here on Packers at Washington Sunday. And so the topic has shifted a little bit now that we're into Wednesday, and it changed for the Packers. They didn't have that full practice. They went with a walkthrough instead today. Aaron Jones is back. Aaron Jones has not taken a regular season snap. Aaron Jones is supposed to be third on that depth chart. If he comes out and shows something good in Washington, how long does that last? A series?
Half time?
Yeah, right?
Half time, yeah. You know how I feel on Aaron Jones. I think he is their best runner. I don't know yet if he is as well-rounded as Jamal Williams in terms of Jamal Williams' ability to pass protect. And even Ty Montgomery, as we saw on Sunday, has gotten really good. I mean, he picked up a couple blitzes, even one from Harrison Smith, who's extremely good, if not the best safety in the league, on a blitz package, and even Ty Montgomery picked it up. So there's going to be, where Aaron Jones has to prove he is as complete of a player as Jamal Williams, and that, you know, even Ty Montgomery now, who's improving, that he can be that guy. But I'll be honest, I was really surprised to see the comments today from Mike McCarthy about, you know, Ty Montgomery and Jamal Williams being, you know, in the first slots, as he said, and then Aaron Jones kind of coming in behind him. So, in behind both of those guys, I believe strongly, Kevin, that when Aaron Jones gets his chance, he's the breakaway guy in this group. I don't know if he's, in, at least this season, going to be their most complete running back. But, man, if you get him outside the tackles especially, I think he's a breakaway type of talent. So, to answer the original question, if Aaron Jones, you know, comes out and whether he gets 10 carries or 5 carries or somewhere in the middle or more than that, if he shows out with those snaps, whether it happens in week 3, week 5, week 10, I think he's this team's biggest home run threat. And I'm sure he'll see his snaps increase as he gets more and more removed from this 2-game suspension.
Let's do a little over-under here on Aaron Rodgers. Let's assume that Rodgers has relative health for this game this weekend that he had this past Sunday, that there's no, he's not appreciably better or appreciably worse, which is he's just his magical Houdini self. The 42 pass attempts is what he had against the Vikings. If you have the same Rodgers Sunday, is it more or is it less?
Wow, good question. I would think less just because 42 is a pretty big number, but again, they were up. I mean, they were up, you know, in this game, and you would have thought that would maybe have decreased the passing snaps. So if the Packers, I think, can put Washington away, you would think that number would be lower. With Aaron Jones back and a bigger rotation at running back, I think you'd assume that that number gets lower. How many did he throw against Chicago? You have it in front of you?
I can put. It's going to take me a second.
He missed so much of that game, so it's probably irrelevant. I wonder what his career average would be. You want to do some awesome quick mental math, dividing all his total pass attempts over how many games? But I think they're going to incorporate the running game more. And again, if they do get a considerable lead, which like McCarthy said today, it's going to be a hot game. You know, you don't know how guys are going to perform. He said if Rodgers isn't appreciably better or worse, but 42 sounds like a lot, doesn't it?
It does to me, and I think there's that hope that this is a game where the Packers grab an early lead and then sort of, you know, deflate that thing a little bit. Just, you know, not worry about as many plays. By the way, it was 30 against the Bears. Even with the time missed, it was 30 pass attempts.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So
I guess you had to come back, though. And yeah, and even this game was probably skewed a little bit because they played 70 minutes of football and not 60.
Right.
So factors to include, I suppose.
Do you think this is the toughest matchup remaining for the Packers before the bye week? It's Buffalo, Detroit, San Francisco after this.
Yeah, I don't know. San Francisco is the one that would give me pause. It's certainly not Buffalo. Oh, my gosh. and, Kevin, I mean, you saw the video after the Bills game, right, where Vontae Davis retired at halftime?
Yeah.
Is that, for me, that's a top three all-time sports story. Like, and just sort of like the commentary that was in the locker room afterwards, I know I'm totally deviating here, but I just couldn't get over how funny that was. It wasn't funny if you're in the Bills locker room, but for me at home in Wisconsin, I thought it was hysterical that they are so bad that he quit at halftime. Buffalo shouldn't, I mean, I just, Detroit does not do anything for me. They didn't do anything for me before the season started, and they certainly haven't made things much better for themselves since then. I think San Francisco's a good team, though, Kevin. I think that could be as tough of a matchup. I just don't know if Washington is much to fear. But this kind of goes back to what you and I talked about not that long ago and what's a realistic goal for this team in terms of record going into the bye week. And I said 5-1, which, by the way, is completely impossible now with a tie on the record. But, I just think if you go through these next four games, you don't want to leave this next quarter of the season, these next four, you don't want to leave this part of the schedule 2-2. Right, you have to go 3-1 in this stretch, and whether it's Washington on the road, that could be tough. If it is San Francisco, but I do think you have to get through this next four game stretch before the bye 3-1. And if one of the games trips you up, it's not. I don't want to say, well, it's okay, but hey, it does happen. It's the NFL. It's good competition across the league. But I do think you want to get through this little stretch here 3-1.
So, yeah, now you've got my mind on this Bills halftime thing where it's like, Vontae Davis is like, you know what? I think I'm good, man. I think I've had a nice run, and I think I'm out. And then the coach is like, all right, let's go get him in the second half.
Right. How do you rally the troops after that, you know, where a guy just put on his street clothes and left? You know, what is Micah Hyde thinking, you know? Like, all of these, like, you know, they share the same cornerback room. And Vontae Davis had a nice 10-year career, and I get it, you know, to some extent I get it, but just one of the more fascinating things ever that when I saw that tweet come out, it said, you know, Bills are trailing at halftime by 20 points, P.S., Vontae Davis just retired. I'm sorry, he what? He retired. When? Just now, like at halftime. You know, like, what? It's one you have to file away in the long-term sports memory of, like, that really actually happened.
Yeah, I'm still floored by that. That's why I think maybe there should be some sort of delay, but I think every halftime speech should be at least recorded. Maybe at the end of a season you release them. You could do like a, you know, postseason Hard Knocks with just nothing but halftime and postgame locker room stuff. That would be a lot of fun, wouldn't it?
You'd have to probably do a lot of editing unless it was on HBO, but I would love to see that. You know, and honestly, Kevin, and we'll kind of deviate here momentarily.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe some of the best stuff that happens, the most interesting stuff, the stuff that I think would make fans feel like the players they watch on TV are human beings just like them, is the stuff that isn't often shown or said publicly by players and by coaches. And I believe Hard Knocks is starting to break down and has broken down some of those walls where I think there's more advantage to a team being intimately recorded like that and seeing everything, you know, from the good to the bad to the ugly, I think there's more advantage to that than there is disadvantage, because it breaks down some of the walls that I think make fans sometimes, you know, look at players as, you know, something other than human beings. And I just think there's a human element to it that gets missed sometimes when you kind of curtail media access. And but then if you just get it behind the scenes and you let, you know, you kind of let the cameras and everybody see who these people really are, most of them are fascinating. You know, they all, most of them have unique stories. And I think the more access, the better, you know, for the NFL's outlook. And the NFL has so much bad publicity right now between the rule changes and everything else that's going on that, I, you know, if you put me in Roger Goodell's chair tomorrow, I increase access tenfold. And I just think it would do a lot of good things for the league. But that's my deviation for the day.
Amen to that. My vote to put you in that chair is officially cast.
Thank you.
Tell me the ballot box and I will throw it in there.
I'll take his salary too. Was it $50 million a year?
Yeah. I would assume that would just come with it, right? It would be a 10% pay bump over where you are now. Okay.
Absolutely.
So, all right. So back to Mike McCarthy and what he said today. And I'm going to read this quote directly here, because okay. Talking about the rules changes, and you touched on this a second ago, and you know McCarthy was asked about how you coach guys with the understanding of what's different and what the officials are going to call and that sort of thing. And McCarthy said, unfortunately, it's a process that's not clear, but hopefully we can get this thing cleared up. Just look at Mike Daniels' rush. It's affected the rush defenders, and you can't deny that. In these next few weeks, knowing that that's been a front and center play, what do you do as a defensive lineman? How do you avoid seeing what happened to Mike Daniels, who was literally just trying to avoid getting a penalty?
I don't know. The players don't know. I don't think in their truest heart of hearts, the league knows. I don't think the officials know. You know, you have Brett Favre going on radio, you know, and saying, like, to me, what Clay Matthews did is a form tackle, a teachable, that's how you teach tackle. On the other side, you have the league saying, not only was that a well-called penalty by Tony Corrente, which give me a break, but that we're going to use that as a teaching film of how not to tackle. Kevin, I mean, like, are you kidding? Like, what do you want these guys to do? It's easy for, you know, people in our chairs to speculate and to talk about it and to say, wow, isn't this going to be so difficult? But the players don't know what to do. The coaches who coach them how to tackle don't know how to coach them how to tackle, because it's evolving and it's changing. And, like, the things that they're saying these players are doing, like a scoop and lift, that is not what happened. Like, it's just not. I just don't know how, you know, an impartial party seeing that footage and seeing that film could say, yep, you know, he did something illegal. And I didn't say this the other day to Bill, but it's something that's been on my mind. I think the most defining argument for why Clay Matthews' hit on Kirk Cousins was not illegal is that watch the way Kirk Cousins reacts as he throws the pass. He doesn't look back. He's not looking for a flag. He's not looking at Matthews like, hey, what the heck? There's no part of Kirk Cousins, if you watch it, where he has a reaction that tells you, hey, man, that was a cheap hit. Hey, man, that was a late hit. Hey, you scoop and lifted. Hey, you drove me to the ground illegally. Cousins is not looking for a flag on that play, as I watched it. You know, he threw the interception. He thought that was the game. When you have the quarterback reacting in that way, who even he doesn't think that what just happened to him was a penalizable offense, you know something's wrong. And I think that's where you can sort of put the exclamation point on it for me.
That's the truth, man. That's absolutely every day and every call that we get, if it's experts, if it's callers just calling in, you know, the deeper this goes, the worse it feels about how next week looks and how the week after looks and how it looks in different cities around the league, because it's like, this just happened. If you're somewhere else, if you're in Miami, this just happened in Green Bay and it's coming to your town too. And that's not good.
You know, and I know, and Kevin, I know we got to jump in, but like, it's one thing, it's easy to joke and say, well, why don't we just put flags on these guys and be done with it?
Yeah.
What, like, if we were to like pull the room, you know, and pull the audience, like, and I kind of did this on Twitter the other day, and, you know, got like 600-something votes. And this is where I think it's going. I think we are on the countdown clock to how long the NFL, which has been the sports giant of American sports culture for how long? I don't know, 15 years? Like, for sure, in the last, like, probably before I don't know, 20 years, 25 years for sure, that the NFL has kind of been king. I think we are on the countdown clock to it being surpassed in popularity and ratings by the NBA. I love Major League Baseball. I love Major League Baseball. But I think the NBA is on the fast track to passing NFL. I don't think it's going to be in the next 5 years, but I just think with all of this stuff and like the rule changes and people just realizing, like, even players not knowing how to play the game anymore defensively, that it's going to have a significantly adverse effect on where this sport goes. And I know it's not going to end with flag football, but it's going to end with a game that I just don't know what this thing is going to look like in 10 years. I have no idea what football professionally is going to look like in 10 years if this is the route that we're going down.
Paul, I appreciate the chats. We always appreciate our chats. We have good chats here.
We do. We great chats.
Paul, appreciate it, man. Enjoy it. We'll chat soon.
All right, for sure, buddy. See you guys.
Paul Immig, our green and gold analyst on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard. You work hard. They treat you fair for 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them at 800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. I believe we have a buy or sell segment next on The Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This portion of the program brought to you by our friends over at Neumel Medical, treating guys with ED, erectile dysfunction, all over the state of Wisconsin, beyond the borders. They have a location in Green Bay, one in Milwaukee, and a 98% success rate. All but guaranteeing success. Also, if you have the low T, looking for better mental clarity, better mood, better stamina, they can help you out there. Just go in and get checked if you're over the age of 30, or the all-in-one weight loss program. It really works. Just call them. 414-455-4451. That's the Neumel Medical Center. 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451.
In the world of sports, a lot of people say a lot of things, but does it pass the big unit test? Let's play buy or sell. Brought to you by Bryant & Stratton College Athletics, offering athletic scholarships in 12 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com. This is the Bill Michaels Show.
It is that time. Joe, you know, sometimes in the middle of the night, I wake up and I hear this music and I'm like, sell! Sell now! Just do it!
Buy or sell?
No, sell is the answer. No, not to everything. And we're going to see here because I know you've got some very good points to come here. Buy or sell? You've got me strapped in this chair, locked down. Fire away.
Well, the Brewer offense has not been good over the last few games. I mean, Monday night was a good night. But beyond that, in their losses, not producing offensively, buy or sell, we should be very concerned with the lack of production from this Brewers offense.
I can't be very concerned, one, because Christian Yelich is performing at that elite level, which is terrific, and he's got enough supporting cast that just by the sheer nature of what happens in the game, somebody or bodies are going to get hot. You've got Kane, you've got Aguilar, you've got Shaw, you've got Moustakas, you've got Scope. All of these bats, and somebody or bodies, again, two or three, are going to get hot. And they're going to be there with Yelich. I have a feeling that run production, you know, no more than it does for a normal team in a playoff race. I don't think it's going to be a huge swing for this team. I feel actually it may be a fairly consistent thing as we get closer to the postseason. If they hit well enough with runners in scoring position, that will be the key. I am selling this one, not very concerned. I think the runs will come.
Buy or sell?
The Brewers cannot afford to lose another series from here on out.
Oh. Cannot afford to lose another series from here on out. So the way it works right now, their magic number is at 8 over the Rockies, and more than that, obviously, against the Dodgers and the Cardinals. They will play at St. Louis. They have a series at Pittsburgh. They have one at home against the Tigers. There's enough space and enough time. Now, if you're talking about catching the Cubs, then no. You absolutely have to win every series from here on out to catch the Cubs. And then you got to hope for them to lose pretty much every series from here on out, even if it's 2 out of 3. For the wild card, that's a 3.5-game lead, and the Brewers only have 10 games left to play. Even if they're sub-500, it takes a big run from somebody like the Rockies to come in and grab that spot. I'm going to sell that one, too. It's not that they can't afford to lose another series from here on out. If they lose more than one, then it's going to be a late clinch. It's going to be a lot of pressure on the team, and that's tough going right into a wild card. I'm selling it.
Buy or sell?
Let's see if you buy this one. If the Wisconsin Badgers lose on Saturday night against Iowa, it's time to start thinking about 2019.
Oh, what a thing to say in September. Oh, my goodness. Coming off the loss to BYU, if they lose at Iowa this Saturday, the Badgers will have lost two consecutive games, including their Big Ten opener. They'll automatically start at a disadvantage in the Big Ten with a loss in that first conference game.
They'd be essentially two games out.
So you can forget about any of the big picture stuff, the big pie in the sky stuff about the playoff. It's already in jeopardy. With the second loss, you might as well forget about that. The problem also is losing two in a row has a way of demoralizing a team.
Yeah.
It has a way, as much as coaches will try to nip that in the bud and keep that from happening, it has a way of affecting a team in the weeks to come. Joe, I'm buying it. If Wisconsin loses on Saturday night, they may be staring down the barrel of 8-4. And that's going to get you to some kind of game somewhere, and you're going to see, oh well, they're playing in the postseason, in the bowl season.
Beef O' Brady Bowl, or
buy your tickets now.
Motel 6 Bowl.
Right. So that's not exactly going to satisfy fans of the Badgers. I'm buying that. If they lose Saturday, 2019 is where I start thinking.
Buy or sell?
Okay. Well. this next one here, I guess, doesn't really apply because Mike McCarthy was saying in the presser earlier that it's Jamal Williams, Ty Montgomery, and then Aaron Jones. Let's phrase it this way, buy or sell, it's a mistake not to be starting Aaron Jones on Sunday.
Yeah, the original question was, buy or sell, Aaron Jones will start at running back on Sunday. That would have been the easiest sell ever since the coach said it's not going to happen.
Correct.
Buy or sell, is it a mistake to not start Aaron Jones on Sunday?
Wow.
That's a really interesting question. I'm almost bordering on buying that because I think Aaron Jones is a guy that can make an immediate impact. And the thing about losing two games to something other than injury, he's the freshest body you have. He's not just the most talented running back you have. He's the freshest body you have. And I wonder if beginning that game at Washington with that freshest body, Aaron Jones, and giving him a chance to establish himself wouldn't be the exact way I would go. You know what, Joe? I'm gonna buy it. I think they could get something better from Jones and overall something better from the run game if they started Aaron Jones.
Okay.
Buy or sell?
Well, the last one for you, Kevin, buy or sell. The early returns from this Packers defense are just okay.
Just okay. Yeah, you look at the secondary. Those first two games with the secondary have been a massive improvement. And I know that there was a collapse against the Vikings pass game, and you do have to factor that in. But you have more bodies, more talented bodies, making more plays in that secondary than you've had in quite a while. The issue for me, Joe, and the reason why I'm going to buy this one, is I am still, like, super concerned about outside linebacker. I really am. I just don't know how that group is going to play in over 16 games. They're going to be sometimes where they're overmatched and sometimes way overmatched. And the issue hasn't really fully been addressed at this point. The thought was that when you had healthy folks in the entire linebacking corps, when you had the Oren Burks of the world, and, you know, Blake, of course, has been terrific, when those bodies, when the inside bodies are good, then the outside bodies would be good. Hasn't really been the case. And I think that would be exploitable as the season goes along. So, for me, I have liked certain parts of it. The secondary is one that I think has taken a big step forward. But yeah, I'm going to buy it. The early returns of the Packers defense to this point, very much improvable. But right now, just okay through two games. They have a one-point win and a tie so far.
Well, very good. I have two pieces of news, one of which we're going to hear more of coming up.
Talk to me, Chief.
Clay Matthews spoke to the media just moments ago. Discuss the roughing the passer rule. Quote, we all know it was an incorrect call. I think everybody, including Vikings fans, see it the same way.
Yeah.
So we're going to hear more from Clay Matthews coming up next here on the show.
Okay.
Some basketball news. Jimmy Butler wants out of Minnesota.
Oh, wow.
But I hate to break it to Bucks fans who'd love to have him, because there were three teams he had in mind that he would want to be traded to. Here are the teams. The Nets, the Clippers, and the Knicks.
He wants New York or L.A. is what he wants.
Yep.
And he does not want LeBron. Does not want to deal with LeBron and the Lakers. But he wants to go to New York or L.A.
And doesn't want Milwaukee.
He's become that type of NBA player. And if you want New York or L.A., you cannot sell him on Milwaukee. It's not happening.
So there you go.
Wow.
That's the latest there. We're not going to break down Jimmy Butler here, but my...
Developments all around, Joe.
I don't even know if I'd want Jimmy Butler in a Bucks uniform.
I'd enjoy it.
I just
don't know if it changes the world, if it makes me, you know, feel like they're going to win another one or two playoff series.
Right, and the thing is, who are you going to give up to get Jimmy Butler?
A lot. That's not going to be a cheap acquisition right there. Someone's going to give up a ton to get Jimmy Butler. The former Marquette star, Tomball, Texas. That is your buy or sell segment, as Joe mentioned. Clay Matthews. More on that hit from Sunday and the call made from it next on The Bill Michaels Show.
Craving Wisconsin? Then get to your local Cousin Subs today and try the Wisconsin steak and brat or the Wisconsin brat and bacon on pretzel bread. Both are made hot off the grill, and they feature Wisconsin's own Johnsonville brats and slices of cheddar cheese made right here in the Dairy State as well. It's a match made in sub heaven. So what are you waiting for? Get into your local Cousin Subs today or go to CousinSubs.com. After all, it's here for a limited time. The official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. That is Cousin Subs.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Kevin Holden from CBS 58 in Milwaukee stepping in for Bill Michaels today on the Bill Michaels Show. Thanks for tuning in all across the network. You've been calling, you've been talking about Clay Matthews, about the hit, about the penalty, about the way the officials are now using that as a textbook example of what not to do. And today, 3 days removed from the tie, 3 days removed from the hit, we get fresh comments. Clay Matthews still has a few things to say about that hit and about the results from it. Clay spoke at his locker earlier today, and here it is. That was it. Clay was done. When he was done, he was done. The interesting thing is the discussion about this is happening, and it's happening in front of us. All of you listening to the show, this is not a behind closed doors thing. McCarthy's talking about it. Clay Matthews is talking about it. I think that part of it is really good. The discussion needs to happen in front of us. We need to see this develop as fans of the game that will have to watch this in the years to come. We are back to wrap things up on the Bill Michaels Show next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
The 2018 9/11 Memorial Stair Climb is going to be at Lambeau Field on Saturday, September 22nd. It's a great way to honor and remember the firefighters who selflessly gave their lives so that others might live on 9/11/2001. And each participant, you pay tribute to an FDNY firefighter by climbing the equivalent of the 110 stories of the World Trade Center. Now, your individual tribute not only remembers the sacrifice of an FDNY brother, but symbolically completes their heroic journey to save others. Through firefighter and community participation, we can ensure that each of the 343 firefighters is honored and that the world knows that we will never, ever forget. On-site registration at Lambeau Field, Saturday, September 22nd, 8 a.m. Enter through the Quick Trip gate, or you can check in a day early. That's on Friday, between 4 and 7 on the 21st. The cost is $40 per climber, and all proceeds are donated to the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation. And if you want more information or just to get registered, go to piercemfg.com/climb. That's Pierce, PIERCEMFG.com/climb.
Bill Michaels Show, Kevin Holden, CBS 58 in Milwaukee in the last few days. Joe, thanks for having me in here, having some fun. A couple of final notes. The Cardinals are in action right now. They're losing to the Braves. That's a 6-3 game in the middle of the eighth. Cardinals lose. Brewers' magic number over St. Louis is down to 9.
Then Khalil Mack had a chance to address the media over the Clay Matthews thing.
Yeah.
This was his thoughts. Quote, I feel like he did everything he could to make the right play. He kept his head out of the way. I feel like that was a perfect form tackle, that coming from Khalil Mack moments ago.
I mean, you're talking about former players have weighed in, current players have weighed in, pundits have weighed in, experts, coaches. I mean, it's from all over the place. This is going to end up being the league against the world if it continues like this.
I just don't understand why the NFL is acting like this. Again, it's money and ratings, and if people start to turn it off and stop going to games because of this kind of crap, the NFL will change. Believe me, they will. But maybe that's what it has to come down to.
I understand the player safety thing. Clay Matthews appreciates the player safety thing. That's a big plus. I don't want to stop that momentum, but I don't want that going too far. But
there's nothing egregious about that hit.
No. Nope. That's football in what appears to be its purest and cleanest form.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, what you got was a changer there. Hey, Joe, thanks for these last 2 days, man. Bill is back tomorrow. You know I'll be listening, as always.
Thank you.
Of course. How could I not listen? Hey, guys, thank you very much.
The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.